Message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem, peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the voice of the message to Israel. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is absolutely impartial, both in his judgment and in his offer of forgiveness. Several times in the Hebrew Scriptures, God's loving invitation sounds. The prophet Isaiah said, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." God wants all to come to him, both Jews and non-Jews. The impartiality of his offer and the surety of his promises are the subjects of A.J. Overton today. I'm happy to introduce to you our Message to Israel voice for the current series on the indestructible Jew, A.J. Overton.
Thank you, Mr. Spencer, and greetings once again, dear friends, in the name of the Lord Yeshua. My subject today concerns the good news to every Jew. We observe from the Holy Scriptures that God is absolutely impartial. In contrast to men, God judges rightly the motives of the mind and the heart. He sees imperfection in all, and he offers forgiveness and cleansing to all. Notice the words "all" and "every" in the following passages. The Bible says, God now commands all men everywhere to repent. God also commands that we share his message of love to all. Go ye unto all the world and preach the good news to every creature. This loving and impartial invitation appears several times in the Hebrew Holy Scriptures. God's chosen people, the Jews, were not strangers to God's loving, impartial offer of salvation. Several times in the Tanakh, that is, the Law, the Prophets, and the Psalms, God's invitation sounded. The prophet Isaiah recorded, "Look unto me, and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth." The prophet Joel declared, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered." To satisfy the deepest need in every heart, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, through the prophet Isaiah, gave this most beautiful invitation. "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat." This is the same earnest invitation extended by our Lord Yeshua during the Feast of the Dedication in the Temple in Jerusalem. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth in me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive." God's heart of love extends to every man who has a thirsty heart. He wants all to come to him. Even in past history, God extended to all peoples this wide invitation through the nation of Israel. The prophet Isaiah recorded this invitation, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come." This included the non-Jews. Today, non-Jews join the believing remnant of Israel to extend this same wide invitation even to Jews. To the believers among the Gentiles, Paul, the Jewish scholar, said that through your mercy, they also, the Jews, may obtain mercy. God showed his love to his chosen nation through the Apostle Paul, who wrote, "Brethren, My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Out of Paul's intense love for his own people issued his desire that they might know the love of God through the person of the Lord Yeshua. He knew that their physical birth into God's chosen nation Israel did not automatically impart a cleansed heart or fellowship with a holy God. He knew that each individual had to accept God's invitation, and he longed that his brethren, according to the flesh, might know these tremendous blessings. Paul also knew that other Jews beside himself would respond to God's offer, for he wrote, "Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace." When the Lord God purposed that in this present time his good news of salvation should reach every man, he foresaw that many Jews as well as Gentiles would believe it. These believing Jews, God thus calls the remnant according to the election of grace. By including the Jews in his present program, God manifests that his offer of forgiveness and fellowship in Yeshua the Messiah is available to every man. Any Jew or non-Jew may believe and receive his offer. In fact, God's program today of forming a new congregation cannot be completed without the inclusion of those from among Israel who believe. In God's new congregation, the ecclesia, or his called out ones, Scripture emphasizes not only impartiality, but unity. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. For he is our peace, who hath made both, that is, believing Gentile and believing Jew, one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that he might create in himself of the two one new man, so making peace. These verses explain what position God has accorded to those from Israel who believe today. These, together with the saved Gentiles, are made one new man with Christ the head. Believing Jews are fellow members with believing Gentiles in the one body of which Christ is the head. In that body, spiritually speaking, all former distinctions give way to the unique, supreme distinction of being a member of Messiah Yeshua himself. Scripture repeatedly speaks of believers in Messiah Jesus as a single organism. It declares that Christ died for us, that he intercedes as the great high priest for us, and that he will present us to himself in spotless glory. Jewish believers in Messiah Yeshua stand on an equality with Gentile believers, and Gentile believers stand on an equality with Jewish believers. Neither is superior or inferior. Both are one in the Messiah. In the future, however, as we shall see, the Lord Yeshua will fulfill his many promises to his special nation Israel at his second coming. The Scriptures say, "There shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." A Redeemer will come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob. As promised so often in the Scriptures, the Lord Jesus Christ will return to deliver Jerusalem from its enemies and to establish his throne in that city. The Hebrew prophets speak of a future time of great trouble to be experienced by Israel as a nation. But the prophet Zechariah promises, however, Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle. Today, God issues a warning to the non-Jewish nations to whom his impartial offer is so widely open. When individuals in these nations no longer respond to his offer of good news, he will set them aside and will restore Israel as a nation once more to its favored place. Paul wrote, "Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, that is, the Jews, take heed lest he also spare not thee, the Gentiles." Let us always remember that the only hope for a Jew, as well as for a non-Jew, is personal trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, some Jews are putting their trust in him who for their sakes died and rose again. There is a remnant, God says. And through his great apostle, God shows that his own heart's desire for Israel is that they might be saved. It was to a Jewish audience first that the Lord Jesus Christ stretched out his arms of love and cried, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." From this invitation, no one is excluded. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Have you come? Will you come? He promises what no one else can give. He promises true heart rest.
And now, may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and give you peace. Shalom.